Good morning. That was wonderful, choir. Thank you so much. If you are able, please stand for our call to worship. It's printed in the bulletin. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we gather on the mountaintop with Jesus, wondering what we will encounter.
We come to encounter God's glory revealed.
We witness the revelation of Christ's divinity made plain before us.
We come to witness God's glory revealed.
We remember that God's glory is not about spectacle, but truth. Not about show, but about love made real among us.
We come to remember God's glory revealed.
We follow Jesus down from the mountaintop into the valleys as God's glory goes before us and behind us.
We come to be sent out to share God's glory revealed. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is O Worship the King. It's number 73 and on the screens. Be seated. And if you would join me in the opening prayer as printed in the bulletin, let us pray. Radiant God, we come to you on this mountaintop to experience your glory. You come to us in the valleys. We meet you in gladness in a place where heaven and earth collide. May our worship of you encourage us on the journey and make us aspire to reflect your kingdom in the world. transform us, and keep us near to you. Amen. And now, if the children can come, I'd like to give you a little message.
Come on now. Come on over, Logan.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Oh, come on. Hi. Hi. Do you all know what yesterday was? Valentine's Day. Yeah. And Valentine's Day is about what? What's love? Oh, you got it. And you know what? Love has a lot of different meanings. Yeah. I could say, Robin, I love your dress. That's one kind of love. Yes, and I could say, I love you. Oh. I could just, love is just so many different things. But love is also Jesus. We sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, right? And guess what? Jesus loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of you too. Because Jesus is, and me too, right? Oh, wow. And don't you guys forget it. Now, so, he's going to go to Children's Church because that's coming up next. Mm-hmm. But have you guys seen anybody do this? Yeah, what does that mean? That's a heart. And one of the things that happens with love is it talks about the heart.
Not yet.
And each one of us has a heart. God made a heart in all of us, and it beats all the time. And we don't even have to think about it. It just does its job day after day, night after night, all of our lives. So when you see this little heart sign, think about Jesus and how Jesus loves us. Okay? Let's pray, and then we'll get a snack. Thank you, God, for loving us and help us love other people just like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, you guys get to... You want one of those? Okay, our prayer hymn this morning is Be Thou My Vision. It's number 451 and on the screens.
Thank you.
Sounds like a theme going on with our heart this morning. So let us continue with that in our time of prayer. Let us go before the Lord. Gracious and merciful God, we come before you as your church. We come to you with all kinds of things that are on our minds. But Lord, we know what is on our minds also rests in our hearts. So Lord, we lay out our heart before you as we consider what it is to know you and how that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we hear a story today about your glory revealed. Help us to appreciate this story, knowing that you love us so much that your glory has been revealed to the world. It is something you've been doing from the time of creation, but we kind of take things for granted as we grow up in the midst of all of your glory that surrounds us. So Lord, we ask you today to reveal your glory to our hearts today, that we would truly open ourselves to you, understanding the beauty and the mastery of who you are and the majesty and also just the beauty of your love. Lord, we don't know that we're worthy of your love, but you say we are. You created us. Love us. You are faithful to your creation. So Lord, open us up to a whole new way of seeing what is before us through your glory. As you call our hearts to be open enough to see all those people that you love. All are created in your image. So Lord, open our hearts in a way that our minds can shape how we see, how we act, how we respond, how we in turn love. It's through your glory that is revealed that this is all possible. Otherwise, we are stuck in the darkness. But the light of your glory shows us all these things and guides us along the way. Strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds, and strengthen our bodies so that we can truly serve you with a heart of your glory. Motivate your church, O God, to join your work, and may your glory be revealed. And now let us share the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, with one voice saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are loved. We are loved so much that we have been given so much. We are to be generous with what we've been given. So as we consider how we give back, not only to the church, but to the community through all that we do, just know that every gift that comes is blessed by the Lord in order to be a blessing to the community around us. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. Please join the prayer of benediction. Light of light, even when our dreams grow dark, you bless us with your radiance and your love. Illumine the gifts we bring before you now, that the world may see your light in the shadows of our world. Illumine our very lives, that our souls may shine with Christ and bring his hope wherever we go. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 17, 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 19. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The Word of God.
Jeff's back, but he's still skipping out on the doing the message. No, we planned this ahead of time. most of you know, as he said, we've been gone. We went to Florida for a week. Wasn't quite as warm as we would have liked, but it was still warmer than it was here, right? And we really enjoyed the sunshine that we got to experience. We go to Florida about this time every year. For the past several years, we've done that. And so I'm getting more used to flying. Flying is something that I no longer really mind doing, even though at times it still makes me a little nervous. During that initial takeoff, I used to close my eyes or distract myself so I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. But now I'm more likely, if I can get a window seat, to sit by the window and look out and watch us go down the runway and see the ground beneath us as we start our ascent into the clouds. It's amazing to me that humans have created this way for us to get from place to place by soaring through the sky like a bird. It's both frightening and awe-inspiring at the same time. There are other things I've done in my life that have been frightening and awe-inspiring at the same time. Learning to run was a scary thing for me. I am by far not athletic, and running is hard for me. But the thrill I feel when I've accomplished it, when I have finished running, that's awe. That's awe-inspiring. 10 years ago, we visited Zion National Park in Utah. And we climbed what is called Angel's Landing. Now, if you're familiar with it, you know that it can be a very treacherous and dangerous hike up to what they actually call Angel's Landing. In fact, since we were there, they've implemented some new rules and are limiting the number of people that can go up in a day. You have to actually have a reservation to be able to go hike it, because they're trying to make it safer. That was definitely terrifying and awe-inspiring. Now, for some of you, that may not be that terrifying. Our daughter, she has no fear. She had no fear going up there. She was ready to go. In fact, at one point we paused and we said, I don't know if we can do this. Jeff and I were definitely feeling a little trepidatious about it. And she was like, well, I'm going, whether you come with me or not. And we're like, okay, well, I think we better go, because I'm not letting her go without us. But yet, she is really, in some ways, petrified to talk to people. So isn't it funny what we'll fear and what others fear and what we don't fear? You know? Different perspectives. We are all afraid and can be fearful of things we have not experienced before. Often the fears that keep us from taking steps forward and trying new things. I want to pause for a minute now and ask you, consider a time or something that you're fearful of. What does it feel like? What's making us afraid? Are you able to overcome the fear and take that step out of our comfort zone? If so, how do you feel when you do that, when you successfully take that step out, doing what you didn't think you could do? Running was one of those things for me. I didn't think I could do it. Are you relieved to have it over with? Or did you have that sense of awe in being able to complete or participate in it? And how does remembering that sense of awe, awareness of overcoming fears, encourage you to move forward and try that next thing that brings you fear? Today's passages, 2 Peter 1, relates to an experience that Peter and two other disciples witnessed called the Transfiguration of Jesus. You heard the story read in Matthew as well. And it's actually recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In each depiction of the story, all three record that a voice spoke from the clouds declaring Jesus as God's son. Now, here are these three different descriptions. Out of Matthew, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. From Mark, "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" And from Luke, "While he was speaking, the cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone until that time what they, anyone at that time, what they had seen." Talk about fear and awe. Here they are following Jesus up a mountain for some quiet time, and they have this encounter with God in all his glory. Can you begin to imagine yourself in that setting? What would it feel like? What would you be thinking? How would you respond to this? Would it change anything about your life to participate in such a terrifying and glorious encounter? I can't imagine that this kind of encounter would not change a person. Peter, James, and John were changed after this encounter. Their lives were never to be the same again. They were eyewitnesses of the glory of God. In our passage for today, Peter utilizes his eyewitness account of this experience to encourage the believers in his midst and to remind them of some very important details that can encourage them in the days ahead. Peter is about to depart from them. He says in verse 14 that it has been made clear to him that his time on earth is about done, and he wants to be sure that they are well prepared. Now, Faith Community Church is embarking on a new journey. New in the sense that in my role as a consultant in this church, we are going to be exploring and developing what I refer to as congregational and community engagement. With that in mind, what can we learn from this passage? Here's a question for us to consider as we prepare to move forward. What do we need to remember from this encounter, this transfiguration of Jesus, to prepare us as we move forward? Like Peter, James, and John, as believers of the faith, we are going to experience moments of fear, discomfort, and things in life that will leave us doubting our worth and our abilities. We will at times fear and distrust people around us. We may lose faith in other people and in institutions that we have previously counted upon. We may encounter fear and discouragement. Most likely we will encounter those things. We will run into situations when we feel better about staying in our comfort zones rather than taking a chance on what actually might bring us awe. This is the type of atmosphere Peter was experiencing, and he knew the believers he was speaking to needed to be reminded of some important things before his departure. In verse 16, he says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. This is the reminder to these believers that Peter's talking to, that the stories that they had heard from them, from him, were real. They were not made up. Peter himself had witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. And out of this, he knew for sure that Jesus is the Son of God. They were not, and we are not, following just anyone. We are not believers in something made up or some cleverly devised story. We are believers in Jesus, the Son of God. They could put their trust in this belief, and they could stand firm on this account. And we can do the same. And we hear also in this passage that the Father declared, God loves his Son and is well pleased for him. You should have heard it several times while I was reading those scriptures. God confirmed to the disciples in the transfiguration of Jesus that Jesus was acting on behalf of God, and that everything they had witnessed, learned, and experienced from Jesus was in alignment with who God was and is. And we read the accounts of Jesus in Scripture, we discover the nature and character of God through Jesus. Jesus doesn't represent something new. He is the embodiment of who God is and the fruit of his Spirit. And from Galatians, we hear the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When Jesus challenges the spiritual leaders of his day by doing things that seem counterintuitive to what the law said, it wasn't going against God's nature. He was clearly acting in faith with the Father. How else could the Father declare him his Son and his pleasure in him if he were not speaking and behaving in alignment with God the Father? Next, Peter reminds the believers of this encounter on the mountain. He declares to them in verses 19, saying, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Hear what Peter declares here. This message is reliable and transformational. All that we know is based on eyewitnesses' accounts shared through the generations. It came from the voice of God and was declared to Peter, James, and John on that mountain. They witnessed it. They shared it. They believed because they were changed by this encounter. What about our encounters with God? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you been changed by these encounters? Have you been willing to step into these encounters? Have you been willing to be changed by them? Imagine if Peter, James, or John had missed out on that day. What if any of them had said to Jesus, I'm going to stay behind today. I'm scared of what might happen if I go up with you on that mountain. Or, I'm too tired to go. I don't see why you need me to go. Someone else can go in my place. If any of them have decided not to go, for whatever reason, they would have missed out on an incredible experience and a powerful message. They would have missed out on being eyewitnesses to the glory of God. While the encounter itself only happened once, it served every day to be a reminder to them that God is there, that God had something more for them than just knowing Jesus. They got to be a part of something truly transformational. Not just a transaction of faith, but an encounter with the living God. The final reminder is this verse, from this verse is this. We need to pay attention. This message that God himself gave to the disciples is just as the experience itself was, a light shining in dark places until the dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. The experience of this transfiguration bore witness to Jesus' status and glory. This encounter on the mountain bears witness to Jesus' status as the one who rules and provides justice. This is something we need to pay attention to. This should make us wake up. It should be the one thing that motivates us every morning as dawn comes and the sun shines in our hearts. If we are to be afraid of anything, we should be afraid of not encountering God. This should bring fear and trembling, excitement and anticipation in a God who establishes all things. So when we took off a couple of weeks ago to fly to Florida, it reminded me of the trip to Florida we took just before moving here to Xenia, so 3 years ago. I remember at that time I was feeling pretty sad, tired, and very worn out. I can often struggle with seasonal depression because of the cold, cloudy days of winter, much like today, right? When there's no sun. The dark clouds and the heaviness of the weather that day matched my mood. That year I had experienced some loss. In fact, just a few weeks before that, my dear cousin, who was like a brother to me, had passed away. Disruption, as we looked at disaffiliations. And we were facing a huge transition, a new move to come here. It all was weighing very, very heavily on my heart that day as we took off. I was feeling as cloudy and as dark as the weather outside. But as the plane went up that day and we broke through the clouds and I saw that blue sky and that radiant sunshine, and I swear it was as beautiful and as radiant as I've ever seen in my life. It was such a striking difference from the moments before, and I instantly felt more alive. My spirit immediately lifted. The heaviness fell from me. And I thought to myself, this must be what it feels like or felt like for the disciples when they saw the glory of Jesus transfigured before them. It was beautiful. It was awe-inspiring. It was miraculous. And after I spent that moment taking it in, I pulled out my journal and I began to jot down the thoughts of all the different ways that God had worked in my life, especially in our years while we were in Northwest Ohio. You see, at the core of my story is a deep pain, shame that I carried around for a very, very long time. It has affected so many of my more intimate relationships and led me to some very personally destructive behaviors back in my early adult years. And though I have long quit those behaviors, long time ago, the shame continued to grow. And I found myself carrying so many burdens that I was never meant to carry. These burdens so weighed me down that I had become a pent-up, frustrated ball of rubber bands. There's a visual for you. I was bound by my shame, and I bounced around from one thing to the next, trying to find something to release me from that pain that I knew was there, but didn't quite fully understand. I was stuck. I couldn't seem to move beyond it, and every attempt to get away from it by doing more or being more didn't seem to help. Like the disciples, Jesus had been inviting me to a journey with him up the mountain, but I kept refusing to go. I was honestly petrified of what I would encounter and the pain I would experience if I did. But finally, our move to Northwest Ohio seemed to be the catalyst, the space, the place where I finally quit resisting and finally broke out of that cocoon I had wrapped myself in. I'm still a work in progress, but I am so thankful that I chose to walk up that mountain with Jesus and be shown the glory of God. And because of it, I will never forget the ways I've been changed from encountering God in a new way. Friends, fear had been a barrier for me to engage in a transformational relationship with God. We as the church, the body of Christ, and individually as believers are being called to engage with God, with each other, and with our community. There are a lot of barriers, types of fears that can keep us from this engagement. In fact, during Lent, starting next Sunday, Jeff kind of already mentioned it, our sermon series will be reflecting on barriers to engagement. I also will be leading a group that is called Fear Plus Less Congregations, where we will go a little deeper into our exploration around these barriers to engagement. Each and every one of you is invited and encouraged to participate. 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, Fellowship Hall C, be there. Consider this an invitation to go up the mountain with Jesus and see what he wants you to see. To go with God to those places you don't think you want to go. Follow the light shining in the dark places so that you can indeed encounter the glory of God. Hear this too. The glory of God is not just about seeing God in heaven when we die. That's not what's happened on this mountain. The disciples saw the glory of God because they willingly followed him up the mountain. They stayed with him. They focused on him. They kept close to him. And they continued to remember and witness to others of that glory so that no one would ever again be afraid to venture to the places where God wants them to go. They encountered the glory of God while they were dead in their sin, but not dead in the world. We must remember these things that Peter was reminding the earlier believers. Jesus is the Son of God. God loves his Son and is well pleased with him. This message is reliable and transformational. And we need to pay attention and not let our barriers, our fears, be barriers to engaging with God, ourselves, and others. What glory or beautiful light are we missing because we are afraid or stubbornly unwilling to follow Jesus where he wants to take us? Don't miss out on the glory of the Lord that he wants to show you by not being willing to invest in yourself, this community of faith, and the community where we live. Going forward, I challenge you to believe in Jesus enough to follow him wherever he wants to take you. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Majesty, Worship His Majesty, which is number 176 and on the screens. Let us stand.
God's glory, the majesty of our King. Feel the presence of God. Step into his presence and allow his presence to lead you to bless everyone you see. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.